to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards has joined us. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We've had a week of contamination.
Contamination.
Yes, we have. Our cows have been contaminated. Our houses, less so.
Less so. This is interesting. This is a really interesting turn of events, which we'll get to in a second about that second topic there. But let's talk cows first. Let's talk the national herd. Are farmers, on the whole, the same farmers that were trying to drive tractors up the steps of Parliament before the election, are they on the whole happy with the government's response?
Yeah, they're not sure what to do, and they can't really blame Labor for causing this contamination. They haven't got much to complain about, and the government's taking this seriously. They're putting lots of money into it, and farmers are a bit divided because, of course, the big decision is whether to get rid of the contamination, try and eradicate it, or try and contain it. And they're both really expensive options. If you're going to eradicate it, you're going to have to kill lots and lots and lots of cows, which farmers aren't too keen on.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a tricky decision. I think the government's made the right decision, at least politically, and farmers, I don't really think they're complaining about it, no.
Do you think the government have got enough money to cover it? You know, but that's been sort of the issue. A good tidy budget there with a little bit of wiggle room.
I
suppose that's what you need the wiggle room for this sort of thing.
They've built in lots of wiggle room, and so now they've got the wiggles. They can pay for it. Yep, it's going to cost about $1 billion either way. If you try to eradicate it or if you try to contain it, it's going to cost about that much over the next 5 years or so, and.
Is it the sort of thing that will other countries be worried about it, or is it the sort of thing that would affect our exports and our GDP?
Oh, I don't think so, no. I think this disease is in most other countries, so...
But yeah, we're one of only two countries or something that doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, really,
yeah. So, and it has been an advantage, not
maybe you get it for your 1,000th birthday or something like that, you get it. Maybe some of those, because we're quite a young country, you know. Maybe it's sort of just you mature into it or something. I don't know. It seems strange.
Yeah,
do you know who the other country is that doesn't have it?
That's right. I don't know, but we are contaminated, and there's a lot of people that are saying it's going to be very hard to fight it. Maybe we should just get used to it and be proud of our Mycoplasma bovis.
What does it even look like? We don't know what it looks like.
No,
doesn't look like bed bugs or dust mites, because they're terrifying when you see them up close.
No, yeah. I think it ends up affecting the cow's udders. It gives them mastitis.
All sorts of terrible bone pains and stuff like that. Apparently, it's no good for the cows at all. We don't want our cows. But we want a happy herd.
Yeah, exactly.
We want a happy, productive herd to make the country great.
So there's not a lot of politics in it. There's no great fights over it. Everyone's a bit sad. Unlike with the houses.
Well, this is the thing. Let's talk about this. I listened to the radio, to some other radio stations yesterday, and man, all I heard was just journalists going, "This is unbelievable. Why didn't they tell us?" I'm not trying to big up myself, but I told you so a year ago. The figures. All that any journalist in this country had to do is look at the figures and go, "That's hardly anything." Wow, that's hardly anything. The information that they got, the Peter Gluckman thing, the Peter Gluckman report. We're talking about the meth testing for houses and the fact that it was the industry, the meth testing industry, are the ones who set the parameters for how much was dangerous if you needed to get a $1,500 clean of your house or a $3,500 or your house pulled apart or all that sort of stuff. And that's the biggest scam of the year, man. People have been making megabucks at doing that.
It's been a big moral panic, and it's been going on for nearly 10 years. People are worried that if you've had someone in your house smoking pee, that it's going to affect it, and it's going to cause everyone else that lives in it to get sick. And
you may as well raise the house to the ground.
It's
tainted earth, that sort of thing.
That's right, and so...
Meanwhile, while your car's running outside and you're washing your hair and you're smoking your cigarettes, using your fly spray and your whatever else, you're shining your shoes, whatever else the poisons we all throw around everywhere, you know?
Exactly. So this report says that pea is not so bad for you, at least in terms of it being left over and residue in your house.
Yeah, well, third hand.
Yeah, third hand.
Third hand. Yes, if you wander into an environment where it's been used, then we're just talking about recreation and not talking like being mixed up and cooked or in a lab or anything.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. And so what happened is a lot of landlords got their houses tested, found there was residue there, kicked out the tenants, you know, had to spend lots of money trying to, you know, fix up the house, you know, knock out walls.
Meanwhile, that tenant's trying to find a flat somewhere and just can't get anywhere.
That's right.
You know?
And the biggest landlord in the country, Housing New Zealand, was the worst at this. They spent over $100 million on this issue. They, you know, brought in lots of testers. They kicked out lots of tenants from state houses. They wasted over $100 million.
Wow.
It meant that lots of state houses stood empty for ages. So it really is quite an astonishing scandal. And, of course, there were lots of people, yes, such as yourself, Mikey, telling the government that this is crazy, that pea's not the problem. it sounds like it is.
It is a problem, but something that it is an insidious thing, you know. I think it was a case of the hysteria,
and it still
exists. The hysteria around even just drugs in this country is absurd, and that's what led a whole bunch of people go in there and say, we're professionals. Here, I'm going to go in here with a cotton bud, and this is going to cost you $1,500. You can't see it, but it rated through the roof on our little thing that we invented.
Yeah, it's kind of Emperor's New Clothes thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the people who did that, they're the ones who need to start being. They need sort of the chair pulled out from underneath them, to be honest, because they're all ex-cops, most of them.
You're right, absolutely. But I think there's big questions that need to be asked about Housing New Zealand and the fact that they wasted so much money and they made all these houses empty and they kicked tenants out.
Yeah.
And, they were, and the housing...
Is that a former government thing?
Yeah. So
what can you do about it? What can you do about that fact? I mean, is this the new leaky buildings?
It is a bit like that. And
whoa.
So there's the board, you know, the people that ran Housing New Zealand, they're still there. And they made this big cock-up. Should they be accountable is the question. Should they have to resign?
Hell yes!
Or should they even have to answer questions about it? At the moment, they're not doing interviews. They're not even, you know, actually being accountable. And so some people are getting a bit pissed off about that. And the minister at the time, Paula Bennett, she says, aha, this shows I was right. And people saying, what? No, you were going around drumming up the hysteria about P. And she said, oh, no, behind the scenes, I was asking the hard questions of Housing New Zealand. And I was saying, no, a bit of P is okay. And so, but now people are sort of saying, well, no, you have to take responsibility for this. You were part of the problem.
Like I say, there's thousands of New Zealand families and individuals who now have a black mark against their... Which, even if it all came out tomorrow, that it's completely, 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 utterly wrong. It's actually really good for you. Imagine if that came out, it'd still be perceived as a black mark, you know, on your renting record or that sort of thing. You still get...
So there are questions about, yes, whether these people should get some compensation, whether they should, get that black mark taken off them and... whether they should, get some sort of compensation for being kicked out of their houses.
And then there's probably the bigger picture too of, like, you know, with if we just toned down the hysteria and actually looked at the problem like we should have looked at it.
Well, that's
then
right.
The people that are really caught on the stuff and are destroying their lives on it might have got some support and some attention as opposed to being just like the Walking Dead or something like that, you know? It's like, run! You know, it's like...
That's the bigger context is the war on drugs. And
the hysteria,
Increasingly, you know, people are aware that the war on drugs is a big scam and it doesn't work. But in this country, over the last few governments, they've bought into it all.
I tell you, one of the most suspicious things I ever saw was two New Zealanders who went over to do they were basically saying, "Well, there's no way we can have legalized cannabis over here. There's no way." And they did like a secret camera, hidden camera visit to a to one of the marijuana sort of dispensaries in the States. And they said, oh, look, you can just get over the counter. Look, it's horrible. Is this what we want in New Zealand? This is what we want in New Zealand. And it turned out the two guys were from one of the meth testing companies over here. Because they were just like, well, you know, if we legalise cannabis here, then everyone's going to stop smoking meth and start smoking cannabis, and that's our job gone.
There's a lot of hypocrisy in New Zealand politics. And, I mean, the other big one has been the Human Rights Commission. This reminds me of, you know, they're the ones...
I won't hear a bad word said about the Queen of Squash.
Okay, I won't say much about Susan DeVos.
No, but you say everything you like.
but
how did she get that job again? I don't get that bit.
Well, the government... thought she'd be good.
I should go for it. I should go for it, eh? Now she's leaving.
Anyone's qualified, that's right. If you believe in human rights, then yeah.
I do.
And so this institution is the one that is supposed to look out for discrimination, is supposed to deal with sexual harassment in the workplace and everything. And then we had this major scandal back in February where we discovered that there'd been sexual harassment going on in the Human Rights Commission, and that they sort of didn't deal with it very well. They sort of swept it under the carpet. And this is supposed to be, the leading institution for dealing with these things properly. So we finally had this report come out, not long ago, and it was pretty embarrassing. It said that, things were pretty toxic in the Human Rights Commission. There was bullying going on, dysfunctional management. And so then on Friday, we had Susan DeVoy and Jackie Blue resign, and we've had the head go before that.
Susan DeVoy said something unusual too. She said sort of, I think maybe some of the other people that work there should think about maybe resigning too or something. Did she say something like that?
That's right, yeah. So she resigned and she called on others to resign. And it really is in turmoil, this place. And people don't quite know what to do about the fact that this dysfunctional organisation is supposed to be dealing with all the other dysfunctional stuff going on in the world. So it's politics as usual, really.
Go Kiwi. Hey, all right, Bryce, hey, thank you very much. Hey, good article that you wrote, too, about the distribution of funding to Māori the other week, too, which is...
Oh, very interesting topic, yes.
Yeah, which I kind of thought would might have picked up a bit of weight sort of over the week. But,
I think people are still talking about it. It is a big topic about how do we deal with inequality, especially ethnicity, do we fund money through iwi, or is that really going to solve things or not? And there's big questions about that.
Did you know Kingi Taurau, who passed away last week?
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, yeah.
He was a really colourful and interesting part of Waitangi events in particular. And, I think everyone will be sad with him.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to spend 6 days... just basically accompanying him everywhere, like Waitangi and everything as well. Second Hongi on the pipeline, bro.
Wow. I was amazed to find out he was 80 years old. I thought he was younger.
He was awesome. And I'm pretty bummed out I couldn't make it to his tangi. All right, okay, thank you very much, Bryce.
Okay, cheers, Mikey.
You have a wonderful week. Thanks very much. Bryce Edwards.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.